Last Sunday evening, I addressed the subject of how God can answer prayer. There are some times we noted that when we pray, that the answer to the prayer can be no, because I love you too much. These may be things that in our human eyes and minds we think are right, but God knows better, so because of his love for us, he declines our prayer. There are other times when we pray where the answer to that prayer may be no, not yet. And what we're asking for, it isn't time. It isn't wrong, but it just isn't time. And so what we pray for may come later. There are other times when we pray that the answer is yes, and I thought you'd never ask, and God grants us what we've asked. And then we finally notice that there are other times when we pray when the answer is yes and more, where God will not only grant our requests, our supplication, but he will actually extend to us more than we have asked. Now, tonight, we want to go off of that lesson, and I want to speak tonight on the subject when God doesn't answer. When God doesn't answer. There is a situation that comes up. This may be a situation that involves you personally or somebody you love. And so you go to God and you pray to God and you ask God to fix this situation with whatever it is. And that prayer isn't answered. And then over a period of time, there's something else that comes up, and you go to God, and you pray about that, and that prayer isn't answered either. And over an extended period of time, it becomes clear to you that God is not answering your prayers. You're calling, but nobody's answering the phone. You're praying, but nothing is happening. God has ceased to answer your prayers. You're praying, but they're not going any higher than the ceiling. Now, how do we explain that? But an even more crucial question is, what can we do about that? When God doesn't answer, what can we do? Let's illustrate it like this. Tomorrow morning, you go out to your car, you get in your car, you put the key in the ignition, and you turn the ignition, and nothing happens. It doesn't crank, it doesn't stutter, it doesn't do anything. You turn the ignition, the key into the ignition, and nothing happens. So what do? Well, you get out of the car, and you raise the hood, and you look at the engine. Now, if you are like me, if raising the hood and staring at it doesn't fix it, then you need some more help. So as you're looking at the engine, your neighbor comes out, and your neighbor is a mechanic. So he comes over to your car and he says to you, well, He says it could be four or five things that's causing this car not to turn over and to start. So your neighbor, the mechanic, in order to get your car up and moving again so you can go, he goes through what we call a process of elimination. So he checks the battery, and the battery is good, and so the problem with the car is not the battery. Then he checks the cables that run to the battery. Is something wrong with the cable? Is there a short, or is one of them cut? And the cables are all right, so it's not the battery and it's not the cables that run to the battery. Then he begins checking the connection. Is there a corrosion so it's not getting juice? And so he goes through this process of elimination. Now stay with me. Are you with me? He goes through this process of elimination, and by looking at this and going through this process, he's able to find what the problem is. He fixes the problem, and you go on your way. Here is the application, and here's the sermon. When it becomes clear to you over a period of time that your prayers are consistently not being answered, there are a series of questions that you need to ask yourself. And these questions serve as a process of elimination as to why your prayers are not being answered. And you go through these questions just like the mechanic went through your car, and as you go through these questions, which serve as a process of elimination, you are able to identify what your problem is, and having identified the problem, you can fix the problem so that you can get on with your prayer life and be heard by God. When God doesn't answer, there are five questions that you need to ask yourself. And with each one of these questions, I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. So it's going to be five questions and five passages that will go with each question. And these questions are the process of elimination, because I'm telling you, you can go with a lot of things being broke, but you don't want your prayer life broke. Question number one, when God doesn't answer, ask yourself, is there sin in my life that I need to confess? Is there sin in my life that I need to confess? Now here's the verse. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 1. That's toward the back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. If, so it's a condition, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, brethren, If we hide our sins rather than confess our sins, we are hindering our prayers. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, the arms of the Lord are not short that he can't save, his ears are not dull that he can't hear, but your sins have separated you from God. Brethren, it is our sins that separate us from God. And in that passage, Isaiah is saying our sins are like a dulling process to the ear of God, so that when we pray, God isn't hearing. Why? Because we have sin in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. When we hide our sins, when we try to cover up our sins, rather than stepping up and confessing our sins, our prayer life is hindered by that. 1 John 1, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, now listen to me, the word confess means to say the same thing. In another words, we are to say the same thing about our sins that God says. We are to say the same thing about our sins that God's word says about our sins, and that is, they'll keep us away from God, they'll keep us out of heaven, and we need to confess them. Now watch the verse. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will confess our sin and repent of them, if we will confess our sin and forsake our sin, John says that God will forgive us by means of the blood of Christ. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you say you have no sin, what you're saying is that God's word is not in you. So if I'm praying and my prayers aren't, but listen, if God isn't answering, I need to find out why. And to find out why, I got to ask some questions and honest up. And the first question I got to ask in this process of elimination is there sin in my life that I need to confess? Now, there's two extremes here. One extreme is that there are those who are like Job's friends who think that every time somebody has a problem, it's because of something wrong that they've done, and that's not always the case. That wasn't the case with Job, and it's not always the case today. But the other extreme is that there are other people who act like there are no consequences at all in anything that you do that's wrong. Here's my favorite statement, maybe. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. I don't care if you're 16, 61, or 106, actions have consequences. And when you decide to do that, you're going to do something, I don't care how old you are, you need to tell yourself, this is going to have consequences. What are those consequences going to be? Actions have consequences. Most of the time, a good action will have a good consequence, and a bad action will have a bad consequence, but actions have consequences. If your prayers aren't being answered, ask, is there sin in my life I need to confess? Question number two. When God is not answering, ask yourself this question. What is my attitude in my prayers? Now, I didn't say what is your attitude about prayer, though that would be affected in this. I'm asking what is your attitude in your prayers? Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Jesus tells a parable about how to pray. Now, you can either pray by coming to God with an attitude that is humble and an attitude that is dependent upon God. One of poverty of spirit, and I know this depends on God. Or you can pray and come before God in your prayer with an attitude of arrogance. An attitude where you come before God and you feel you are more worthy to be doing this than other people are. Watch the parable about how to pray. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed. Thus, God, I thank you I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now let's stop right there. Here is the Pharisee. The Pharisee was a highly religious man. The Pharisee was the good guy. He was a good man. But he's not praying. He's bragging to God. Look at verse 13. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now the tax collector was the sinner. But the tax collector, he approached God in humility and he approached God in prayer with a contrite heart. Now look carefully at verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Brethren, listen to me. The good man went home that day a sinner, and the sinner went home that day a good man, and the difference was their attitude in their prayer. Do you see it? So here's what we have to ask ourselves. When I approach God in prayer, do I approach him like the Pharisee? Arrogant in the fact that I am more worthy to come before God and do this than other people are? Or do we approach God with the attitude that the tax collector had of a contrite and humble heart? When God doesn't answer, I got to get hold of that. So I'm asking myself, I'm going through these questions as a process to find out what is the problem. Why aren't my prayers being answered? So I'm asking myself, is there sin in my life that I need to confess? And the second question I'm asking myself is, listen, what is my attitude in my prayer? Question number three. Is my prayer aligned with the will of God? Is my prayer aligned with the will of God? Quickly, look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 2. James says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now listen, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, if you are not praying, then it's not going to get answered. But that's not what I'm after. Here's what I'm after, verse 3. You ask and do not receive. So you're praying, but you're not receiving. You're praying, but it's not being answered. That's what we're talking about. Now, what is the problem? Verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. How is it wrong? To spend it on your passions. Listen. When we come before God and pray, our prayers must be in line with the will of God. I can't pray to God about something that's outside of His will. So the question is, well, how do I know what the will of God is? And brethren, the answer to that is that it is the Word of God that reveals the will of God. And if you want to know the will of God, then know the Word of God. So that way, when you pray, you can stay in the will of God. Listen. You have a neighbor who keeps you up all hours of the night. You can't pray. Dear God, give him a stroke. Though you've been tempted to, if you have such a creature next door to you. You understand what I'm saying? When we pray outside the will of God, that shuts the door to the prayer. Is my prayer in aligned? Is it aligned with the will of God? Is this a prayer that's within the scope of God's word that God would answer? Is it in His will? Question number four. Ask yourself, am I praying, believing? Am I praying, believing? Go back one page, James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. praying in faith. That is, praying believing. What that means is that you have the confidence in God that what you are praying is something that God can answer. Let me say that better than what I just said it. A prayer of faith and praying in faith means you believe that God can answer this prayer. Now hear this carefully. Maybe the reason God isn't answering, it may not be that you have sin that you need to confess, because you don't. It may not be that you have a wrong attitude in your prayer. That may not be it at all. It may not be that what you're asking for is outside of His will. That may not be at all. The problem may be is that you are praying to God, but you are doubting in confidence that God can answer it. And if you doubt, you're going to do without. James 1, look at verse 7, the very next verse. For that person, what person? The person who prays and doubts. Let that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. So I'm asking myself, am I praying, believing? Question number five. Question number five. Am I praying with persistence? Am I praying with persistence? Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 again. Look at verse 1. And he, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Now listen to the parable, verse 2. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Let's pause. So here is a judge, and this judge is the opposite to God. Everything that God is, this judge is not. This judge doesn't respect God. He doesn't respect his fellow man. He could care less. Verse 3. And there was a widow. Take special note of that word. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to the judge saying, give me justice against my adversary. The woman coming to the judge was a widow. A widow in the ancient world was a woman who had no power, she had no say-so, she had no authority, and she had no man who could stand up for her. And in fact, in this day, she didn't even have the right to testify in court. She had nothing. She had nothing. So here is this judge who doesn't care about anybody or anything, and here is this insignificant woman, this widow, who keeps coming to him. Now, this widow to this judge is nothing. She is nothing except someone who just keeps troubling him. Look at verse 4. For a while he refused, But afterward, he said to himself, though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because she keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she will not beat down. I will not beat me down by her continual coming. Do you understand a parable? He doesn't care. Listen, she is nothing to him except just a burden. But because of her persistence, I'm going to take care of her problem just so she'll leave me alone. I'm going to give her what she wants so she'll leave me alone. Look at verse 6 and 7 for the application. And he said, hear what the unjust judge says, and will not God give justice to the elect who cry out day and night? Listen, if an unjust, godless judge will give to an insignificant widow what she wants because of her persistence in coming to him, then will not a God of love give to his children what they ask if we persistently go to him with it? You say, well, why do we have to keep going back? Because persistence is what shows God that we want it. And persistence is what shows God that we believe he can answer this. You're not going to keep going back if you don't believe he can answer it. And you're not going to keep going back if you really don't want it. So this and we're done. You're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and it is obvious your prayers aren't being answered. That needs to greatly concern you. But you can get your prayer life back the same way your mechanic got your car started. Through a process of elimination. 5 questions. Is there sin in my life I need to confess? If there is, that'll shut my prayers down. What is my attitude in prayer? Do I approach God with an attitude, I'm more worthy of this than somebody else is? Is my prayer aligned with the will of God? If this isn't something that God wants, and I know that, then I need to stop asking for it. Am I praying believing? Does my faith really have the confidence that God can answer this prayer? I know God can answer this prayer. And is there persistence in that prayer? Through those questions, you can find what the problem is. You can fix the problem. And you can get your prayer life on the road again. This afternoon, if you're here, if you need to respond to the invitation, we bid you an opportunity to do that right now as together we